Peter.
Michael.
What do you know about online dating?
I'm a big fan because getting brutally judged by 100 people every single day is my love language.
So as Peter mentioned a couple bonus episodes ago, we still don't really know what the format of the bonus episodes is going to be. So
yeah.
While we're in this interregnum period, we basically have like a bunch of leftover research that Peter did for the game and I did for the rules. Mm-hmm. We didn't really get a chance, because these books are fairly old, to talk about the paradigm shift from traditional, or, you know, since the 1950s style dinner and a movie dating to online dating.
Right.
I read an entire extra book for the Rules podcast that I didn't get a chance to mention. And we just thought it would be fun to have a kind of freewheeling conversation about this shift and what it means and what we've been reading and our deranged stories of online dating.
And by extra research, what Michael means is that he read countless studies about the impact of online dating on our collective psychology. And I went on the most toxic subreddits I could find.
Yep.
For weeks on end. And I'm ready to talk about it now.
I can tell this is happening because every time I've texted you in the last 2 weeks, you've waited 4 hours to get back to me. I'm like, damn, I'm really into Peter. What's happening with my feelings?
The longer I wait to text Michael back, the stronger my position on the podcast becomes. when you double text, that's when I know that I'm the main host.
So since we so often talk about bad graphs and charts on the show, I wanted to start by sending you a good chart that is actually genuinely pretty interesting. So I'm going to send this to you, okay, and I will let you describe the story that it tells.
Okay. The title of this chart is How Heterosexual Couples Have Met, data from 2009 and 2017. And it's a graph that maps actually from 1940 to roughly present. Mm-hmm. And you can see starting a little before the year 2000 and then skyrocketing, met
yes.
online.
Yes.
So like met through friends, decline starting in 1990.
Fucking tanks. Yeah, it goes from like 35% of couples met each other through friends to 20% of couples met each other through friends
right.
in the space of like 15 years, which is crazy.
Right. And yeah, met online is now the plurality,
yeah.
it looks like.
It's also very interesting that it's mostly cannibalizing met through friends.
Right.
Met through church is relatively standard. The met in school or met through family have both been declining basically since 1940, just steadily, like people don't meet through family. People don't, you know, marry their high school sweethearts mm-hmm. the way that they used mm-hmm. to. So these are like much more longstanding trends. Met through coworkers appears to have declined quite drastically in the 1990s. Part of that is probably like sexual harassment and like more of these kinds of policies at work.
Sexual harassment is ruining love in the workplace.
I know, you could easily do like a Ben Shapiro podcast, like out of
yeah,
this graph.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then, okay, so I actually did a lot of research on like this paradigm shift and like what it means. So there's basically a couple different waves of increases in online dating. Match.com is founded in 1995. We then get OkCupid in, I believe, 2003. That's when like it goes kind of more mass market. Before this, it was seen as very sketchy. And the Rules actually has like a kind of interesting chapter on online dating where it's all like safety tips.
Huh.
But there's now been this rolling snowball that like the more people do online dating, the more appealing online dating is, right? Because that's not seen as like
right.
something for weirdos. So it has this
right.
big jump up in the OkCupid era in the early 2000s. And then it has another very significant leap up when smartphones take over. So Tinder
yeah,
is
yeah.
founded in 2012. And then we're like really off and running because the sort of modern generation of dating apps essentially narrow the information about dating partners, potential dating partners, down to like the things that people actually care about, which is like, what do you look like and how close are you to me?
Right.
Like, how much of a hassle is it going to be to meet up with you?
God, I can't believe there's just like an app for relationships and we let that happen, you know? Like, just like a human engagement app.
It is. There is something so fucking capitalistic about the whole thing.
Right. Left or right? Left or right? Quick.
Yeah.
Do you like them?
It used to be sort of integrated into the rest of your life, right? Like it could happen organically. And now it's just like a completely separate activity that you do.
There were moments in my life when I would just be like hungover on a Sunday morning, eating Doritos in bed, like swiping left on some poor girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I know.
Like, no, I know. No. I know. Lives in Hoboken. That's a big no from me.
That thing is, even as you're commodifying everybody else, it's still so fucked up to think about how they're commodifying you.
Right.
That someone glances at a photo of me for like a tenth of a second. There's like, nope. Ouch. But of course, that's what I'm doing to everybody else.
If you saw a montage of everyone seeing your profile and swiping left or right, it would ruin your life.
This is another thing with like ghosting, I feel like, where obviously it's like it's rude behavior to just kind of disappear on somebody. But also, I have had people tell me why they don't want to see me again. And like, it really hurts to know the specific reason. And I kind of like the plausible deniability of like, oh, maybe that person's like dog died and that's why they didn't text me back, which is not fucking true. And like, I know it's not true, but unless I have confirmation of it, I can just like tell myself that.
Right. I once got an email after like a couple months of like a friends with benefits situation with like a full accounting of like every reason, ranging from like her own introspection to like my problems. And I was like, I would rather you just text me that I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Like this is awful.
Do you remember her specific complaints? It would like, it would sear itself into my brain if I ever got an email.
Of course.
Like that.
I remember I could almost recite the fucking email verbatim. I can tell you, I can literally tell you what day she sent it on, which I'm not going to do on the off chance that she's a lister and will know that she's fully living inside my head. A decade later.
So the way that academics talk about this paradigm shift is most couple formation in the United States before the advent of the internet was done through what they call weak ties. So your sort of pool of potential dating partners was like friends of friends, coworkers, friends of coworkers, this sort of 2 to 3 degrees of separation from people who you know, right? People who you share institutions with, people who you're around. Mm-hmm. What the internet allowed us to do was to expand this circle of potential dating partners to basically complete strangers, right? If you live in New York City, your potential mates are now everyone in New York City. So you've gone from maybe 1,200 potential matches to, I don't know, 3.5 million.
Yeah.
This has changed the paradigm in a lot of ways, in that people tend to date concurrently more. Like you would have kind of 2 or 3 irons in the fire, and everyone you're dating also has kind of 2 irons in the fire in a way like was kind of seen as like promiscuous or untrustworthy or unethical in a previous generation. It's just sort of like, well, I have 2 dates in one day and she probably has 2 dates in one day as well. And like, whatever.
I don't want to say it's a necessity, but if you're like swiping, right, and you match with someone, unless you stop and let that play out, you will inevitably end up with situations where you've matched with 2 people and you're chatting with 2 people. And I think like the inevitability of talking to multiple people on these apps just led to it being accepted. When I think you're right, like if you described that sort of dynamic to someone from like 15 years ago, they'd be like, oh, God, that's bizarre and unhealthy and promiscuous in some regard.
Dude. A personal story. My grandparents lied about how they met for 50 years. They told us on their 50th wedding anniversary, they had always told us that they met on the Capitol steps because they were both living in DC. Uh-huh. It turns out they actually met in a nightclub where my grandma was there with another guy. She was on a date with a dude and she met my grandpa. My grandpa sort of like made a move, like sent a risky text. And then she was like, okay. And they started dating.
He did the Charleston right next to her. And she was like, whoa, who's this guy?
It's also very funny to me that no one in the family ever asked any follow-up questions for 50 years. They're like, we met on the Capitol steps. None of us were ever like, how?
Right.
Why? Like, what was it like? We're just like, yeah, an old person story. Sure.
I'll tell you what, 50 years from now, there will be grandparents telling the opposite lie because they did meet on the Capitol steps on January 6th, 2021.
Yeah. But I also think, I mean, I think that there are pros and cons of online dating. Like, it would be very silly to say, like, this is bad for society or, like, this is good for society. Every technological shift is very complicated. But most of the pros and the cons come from this shift from, like, third-degree friends to complete strangers. So there is some data that interracial marriages are increasing.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
The idea of that is basically that, like, when you cast the net wider, you're not relying on your friends. Like, most people have fairly homogenous friend groups. Once you expand out to complete strangers, it's like, well, then you can do, like, people of different ages and races and classes. And, like, there's actually more diversity in dating.
You call it Bumble. I call it white genocide.
That name wouldn't have hit as hard. It's harder to download.
Hey, are you on white genocide?
Yeah. There's also some, I honestly think, kind of janky survey data indicating that marital satisfaction is actually higher for people who meet online. The idea is that you're able to more tightly narrow down your field of partners to people who have, like, the same ideas of you. Like, I want kids and you want kids. Or, like, I'm Catholic and you're Catholic. Or you can be more specific when you have more choices. And so there's a lot of debate about this. A lot of the sort of gripes about online dating are this idea of, like, infinite choice. Like, there's just too many people out there. So you're not really going to value the person that you're with.
Right.
But the other theory of that infinite choice also means that you're able to find somebody who's, like, more tightly suited to you.
Yeah. You can just put a weirdly bitter list of demands in your profile.
I want to know the races and the types of people you don't want to date. That's the first thing I want to learn about you.
Yeah. Give me some body types that you're not into.
Exactly.
But honestly, like, this does feel like, you know, obviously there's sort of, I understand the problems of infinite choice, but the opposite end of this is, like, I don't know, like, 150 years ago, there were towns where, like, there would be one person of the opposite sex that was your age. And you were like, well, that's my wife.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I think there's also, like, a sort of second order effect of this, too, where I think the expectations of marriage have changed over time, too. I think it's become much less of, like, a business-like relationship or something that has property ownership or a business partnership. It's much more like people are now looking for soulmates. So it's also jacked up the expectations.
Yeah.
But then also this shift to complete strangers is also, I think, behind a lot of the downsides of online dating. There's a lot of studies that show an association between heavy use of dating apps and higher rates of anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, we don't know the cause, like the direction of the cause. It could be you're depressed because you're on Tinder. It could also be you're on Tinder because you're depressed.
Yeah.
There's also the thing of, like, just women being, like, constantly fucking harassed and having, like, dick pics sent to them and, like, the insane levels of just bullshit that especially women have to deal with on the internet. It's like, well, I'm a complete stranger. You're a complete stranger. I can send 1,000 women the same dick pic on the chance that one of them is going to respond positively. Although I've never actually heard of that working. But I think people just find it really humiliating to be treated like this, just to have other people constantly treating you like a stranger, right? Like, they're canceling on you. They're saying fucked up. Like, the things that people send in these messages to each other are, like, really fucking mean. It really grinds you down. And I think a lot of that really does come from this idea of, like, you are replaceable.
It also just speeds up the entire process. Like, for the same reasons that you're often, you know, juggling multiple people that you're kind of dating at once, that also means you're experiencing an amount of rejection that someone from 1945 would be
totally
unfamiliar with, let's say, right? You're just going through volume.
Yeah, it can become a real numbers game. I mean, dating has always been a numbers game, but, like, the degree to which it's a numbers game has significantly increased, right? That you match with 2,500 people and then you go on 500 first dates and you go on 80 second dates and you go on 33rd dates. It's like you just kind of run through the conveyor belt.
Right.
But in that process of narrowing it down, there's a huge amount of just, like, emasculating, humiliating, terrible behavior that you have to just accept. I'm in this process. I've been single for the last 6 months or something. And, like, sometimes you do meet up with people who just have this, like, weariness about them where, like, you can tell they've done this a million times and they don't really want to be doing it. And there's, like, how many siblings do you have? Where did you grow up? And you're like, look, man, I don't want to be here either. We just have to get through this. We're going to do it together.
We were talking about the, I was making a joke about the angry profile rant, which is like a type of dating profile you come across where like their about section is basically just like this super bitter, either a list of demands or maybe like an outward facing complaint of sorts. Sometimes I kind of get it, right? Like,
oh,
I think if you've had like a bad few weeks on the apps or whatever, I get the impulse to just pop into the, you know, the about section of your profile and be like,
Can I read you a Bumble profile that I saved?
Absolutely.
I cannot stop like saving these. He's 50, by the way, 50-year-old gay man. He says, not interested in over 50 or anyone with depression, insomnia, or anxiety. I like my high IQ and earning a good salary at what I do. So if you don't, then we're not a match. I seek to build a life.
God, I love these people. In his mind, there are a notable amount of people who are bothered by high IQs.
Yes.
So much so that he's like, I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lower my IQ for you.
On gay dating, like on Grindr, a thing you see a lot is like, no time wasters. I'm not here for time wasters. Mm-hmm. As if someone's going to look at that and be like, ah, I'm a time waster. Okay. This guy's not in it for me. It's like, no idiots. Like no one identifies, like no one thinks that that's them. So it doesn't weed out. One guy, my favorite Grindr, this was like a decade ago. Someone on their Grindr profile just wrote hot people only.
Nice.
Right. That's everyone. Everyone would like people they're attracted to
bite them. The absolute worst part of those profiles is when they put a physical requirement in that you can see in profiles.
Yeah.
When
people are like
white people only. It's like, this is a fucking app with pictures. So obviously the whole purpose of those types of profiles is just to like inject a little bit of negativity into someone's day.
Yeah, it's awful.
If you're fat and you're swiping, not only do you have to like deal with whatever general stress you have from being on the dating scene, but then every now and then you get to see someone be like, no fat people, please.
I came up in the era of Grindr where like, I swear to God, like 1 in 5 profiles had like no fats, no femmes, no Asians.
Right.
And like people, this was so fucked up. People would like try to be fucking cute about it. So people would put no rice, no spice.
Jesus Christ.
To be like, no, I guess like no Asians or Africans or like, it's not even clear to me what the fuck that means. But it's like, so not only have you done like the racist text, it's like, oh, you're trying to be fucking cute about your racist text.
Right.
Like, wow, you're like, you're a complete fucking asshole. And also you're just like not funny and like don't seem remotely like bothered by it. I wish there was something more that I could do beyond blocking people.
No, you should be able to pick one person that you can kill through the apps, I think.
Exactly. That's also another, I don't know if straight people do this, but another like genre of online date is where they just want to complain about online dating the whole time.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I always find it like a weird sort of like Mobius strip Escher painting of an interaction where it's like you're on a date and you're complaining about how hard it is to get on a date with someone. And I'm like, right, you should do the date. You're on it.
Yeah, I don't know that I've had that exact experience. But I have had online dates where they were like, how's Bumble going for you or something like that. It's funny because it makes sense. A big part of your life is that you are going on these dates, trying to find someone, and then you're trying to get to know someone.
Right.
And they're trying to get to know you. So what's something about you? Well, yeah, going on 3 dates a week. That's a pretty big part of your life.
What are your hobbies? I spend about 20 hours a week in various stages of online dating.
Exactly.
Like, it would be weird to like edit that out.
Yeah, exactly.
But also it's like weirdly self-referential to be like, dating is going really well for me. I had sex with 3 people today. What's your afternoon been like?
It's like breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah,
like everyone knows that we're all play acting to a degree, but like you don't really talk about it.
One of my pet peeves is like people who do like meta conversations who are like, let's change the subject. Or like, I don't want to talk about that. I'm always like, you can just change the subject if you want to change. You don't have to say, let's change the subject. You can just actually change the subject.
Right.
But you then get these people who have like a script in their heads of like how the first date is supposed to go. So you like ask something and they're like, I don't want to talk about that on a first date.
Right.
Okay. I failed the test now, I guess.
Anyone who like overtly talks about the topic of conversation weirds me out because then it makes me think about the structure of the conversation rather than just having a conversation.
Yeah,
I hate that shit. That's very weird. And that's actually very common where people are like expressly dictating the terms of the conversation to you.
Yeah,
just like, what the hell? What the fuck's going on?
We talked about this in the game episode, but we ended up cutting it out. That I think also because online dating creates this kind of numbers game, people then try to like gamify it or like make it as effective as possible. I think there's like a kind of a TED Talk brain thing of like, I want to have the most efficient first date, right? So like, I'm going to skip over the small talk. I don't want to talk about the weather, like what you do. I want to skip to like the meaningful stuff. So I've also gone on dates with people that, you know, you're like, oh, how was your day? And they're like, no. What are your three passions?
No.
What's the last thing that made you cry?
I will be getting up and exiting immediately. That is game over for me.
But the weird thing is, like, I get it. Because, like, small talk can be fucking excruciating. But also, something that endears you to someone else is, like, can you just make pleasant small talk with a stranger? Like, I want someone who can, like, go through a talk about the weather and not make it weird for the other person or try to essentially make themselves the center of attention by being like, no, we're going to do my essay questions.
What I think is that if someone gives you this, like, staged, like, describe your ideal vacation bullshit. You're not going to learn anything. But if I ask you, how was your day? I'm going to learn a lot about you because I cannot be with someone who doesn't take that as a prompt to complain about their job. When I was on a date and I was like, how was your day? And someone was like, it was great. And like walked me through their day and everything was fantastic. I'm like, no.
Yeah, huge red flag.
This is over.
Yeah.
If someone was like, my boss is an asshole, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about date number two. I'm already there.
It's like when you ask somebody, what was high school like? And they're like, everything was fine. I was popular. Like the kids, they liked me. I'm like, all right, I have places to be.
Check, please.
I want trauma from you. I want hurt.
That's the point of small talk. You're getting at the little edges of a person's being.
I actually did a decent amount of reading on the conventions of small talk for the rules episode because I genuinely find small talk like extremely interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone understands the purpose of small talk very differently. But one of the reasons why these like essay question approaches, I think they're very understandable, but they're not as effective, is that the purpose of small talk is to speak about something very superficial that you have in common, to look for other commonalities, right? Of like, oh, it was raining today. Oh, I hate it when it rains. Oh, I like being inside. I also like being inside. Then it's like, okay, we're both introverts.
Right.
You can zigzag your way into deeper forms of commonality and just sort of feel somebody out like, are you a weirdo? Do you take turns in conversation?
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
You can't sort of skip that part because the purpose of small talk is like an audition.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, now I'm comfortable going deeper with this person. But if they basically fail that test, then you want to pull back.
Right.
And so whenever people try to leapfrog it, it's always like, well, the boring part is kind of important. Like we have to sort of work our way up to, like, when was the last time you cried? You can't skip to that. I need to build some rapport with you to know that I can trust you.
And a lot of rapport is also just like, do we have chemistry? And by chemistry, I don't even always mean, do we have things in common? I mean, is there like a dynamic to our conversation that I enjoy? Do we pitter-patter effectively? How's our rat-a-tat-tat?
And also, is she sarcastic? Is she feminine? Mm-hmm. Do I want to stroke her long hair? These are the things that you're trying to determine about females.
Michael, putting yourself in the straight guy's shoes.
That's just what I assume that you guys look for.
Staring across the table, like, I want to touch your hair.
Speaking of which, do you want to talk about this toxic subreddit that you've been reading? Female dating strategies.
Yeah.
I feel like so much of the toxicity that we see from men on dating, like the men's rights weirdos and pickup artists and incels, is in some ways an output of this rapid shift to online dating. Like people just aren't really set up for it and we don't really have like rules or norms established.
Absolutely.
But I have never looked into like how this has manifested among women or like kind of what this looks like among female-oriented online communities. Take me down the rabbit hole, Peter.
So the subreddit, they have like sort of abandoned Reddit.
Okay.
So what you're looking at now is basically just advertisement for their podcast. But it was once this like thriving community on Reddit. Mm. Some of the origins of this community, it kind of roughly traces to sort of like weird, mean girl communities where girls would like basically ask, post pictures of themselves and ask for advice on how to improve their looks for dating purposes. And the responses were, you know, a mix of like constructive advice and like weirdly mean-spirited shit.
Oh, so they'd post like, how do I look? And people would be like, lose 30 pounds or like something shitty.
It was that, but also there would be like good advice mixed in. Here's some advice on makeup. Here's some advice on clothing. And also, your ears are bad. it's like weird shit like that.
Wrong face.
What's so remarkable about this community is how quickly it began to mirror a lot of like incel adjacent subcultures among men. Hmm. I do want to be upfront. I am not trying to create any sort of like moral equivalences between the outputs of this subculture and incel subcultures.
Yeah, I think the body count comparison.
I mean, yeah, you know, this is not a community that has led to any shootings that I'm aware of. And so, you know, I think we can discuss it with that in mind.
Yeah.
That said,
with that behind us,
there are some genuine similarities.
Okay.
In the psychology, at least. So, like a lot of incel pipeline communities, it starts off with like very reasonable guidelines for self-improvement and self-respect, which draws in a ton of well-meaning people. Like, if you were looking at the high level bullet points, it would be like, work on yourself and don't take too much shit from men who are treating you poorly. Very reasonable, hard to disagree.
Yeah.
A few things happen downstream of that. And this is like not an exhaustive list, but it's sort of things that I noticed. One, the community introduces you to rigid hierarchies.
Okay.
There are high value men and low value men. There are queens and there are pick-me's, they call them.
Is that like just looks based? It's like conventionally attractive women versus not conventionally attractive women?
Pick-me's are women who are actively seeking the approval of men.
Okay.
Pick me. The opposite is a queen who values herself.
Okay.
So along with this worldview comes a ton of lingo. High value men and low value men are HVMs and LVMs, and there's NVMs, negative value men. You have queens and pick-me-shes. There's monkey branching, which is when you have you're sort of in one relationship and you're monkey branching to the next one, where you're grabbing the next branch before you swing.
There's diamond hands, which is what they call second base. It hurts. Ow.
All of the lingo sort of draws you in, but it actually, I think, serves to hide the volume of toxicity at a glance. Like, if you're an outsider just looking at it, you might not realize how creepy a lot of the discussions that you're looking at actually are until you're a little deeper into the community.
Right, because high value men and negative value men is just like a really fucking gross way to think about other people.
Incels and female dating strategy, FDS types, seem to believe in like a biological reality where men are constantly seeking sex and women are therefore sort of its gatekeepers, right?
Okay.
The only difference is the conclusions they draw. The incel types just take this as like a general grievance almost, right? I want sex. Women are not letting me have it.
Right.
Ah, it's not fair. But the FDS types believe that it's important for women not to give up sex too easily in order to like maintain the collective social status of women. And those that do are often framed as like sort of traitors to that cause. So on their website, you can find the fundamental principles of female dating strategy.
Hell yeah.
One, be a high value woman.
Okay.
Two, if a man isn't chasing you, he's not that into you.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Three, most straight men aren't relationship material for you.
That's fair.
Four, as women, we have the responsibility to be ruthless in our evaluation of men.
Okay.
Five, don't have sex before commitment has been established if you're looking for a relationship, or before he has demonstrated value and investment if you're looking for friends with benefits.
Okay.
Six, generous men are a non-negotiable.
Okay.
And that is the full list.
It does feel very online datey to me, in that you're trying to protect yourself from like the sense of humiliation that comes with online dating and like this fucking numbers game. And it's just so ensmallening to have to fucking do this.
It is humiliation avoidance, right? If I put up a wall of hostility, I will never be embarrassed, right? Yeah. I will never be degraded.
So what are their strategies? Like, what are the female dating strategies?
What's weird about this, I have digested a lot of it and listened to their truly bad podcasts.
Hell yeah.
Although, you know, podcaster solidarity above all things. So I...
No podcast beefs under any circumstances.
Almost all of the advice revolves around not taking shit.
Okay.
And essentially any poor treatment from a man should be met harshly, aggressively, set boundaries, respect yourself by dumping a guy who treats you poorly. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about them as a community is that, similar to the incels, if you're just on the forums or looking at like their little blog posts, it is almost entirely just complaints about men more than it is advice for women.
Right.
So you end up getting like this very toxic dose of bitterness more than you're getting any advice at all.
Yeah.
Almost all of the advice is like, here is this awful thing men do. How should I handle it?
Right.
There are posts that are just like, men are all compulsive liars. And then it's just like an anecdote and other people sharing their own anecdotes about men lying. And you're like, what is this for?
Right.
That said, there are, you know, there are like ways in which it functions as like a support group for women who have been through really traumatic relationships and stuff. Right. I would not recommend it as a support group, but I think that that's, you know, probably serving some element of like a legitimate function in people's lives.
Yeah.
But you can just see the toxicity running through these communities as they dwell in it. I think the most obvious thing, and something that I ran into on the subreddit with a relative frequency, is outright racism.
Yeah, because once you're ordering people in terms of their value, it's like you're going to assign demographic traits to that.
You'll often have talk about which races engage in like undesirable behavior of various types and why. And like, they're just presenting it as like pragmatism, right?
We're just being honest, ladies.
Yeah, exactly. And you also get other reactionary impulses. There is a very clear shift into transphobic rhetoric a couple of years ago, including like the mods of the subreddit being relatively openly transphobic and just essentially being like, we don't trust men. That includes men who think they're women. Like just that blatant.
Oh, God.
You don't want to compare it to incels too directly because there are no shootings.
Yeah.
But I actually just thought it was fascinating how many parallels
you could just
very readily draw between them and incels. It jumps off the page at you.
It also points at what I think is like this deep reservoir of like hurt and contempt and complicated feelings about this shift to online dating.
Yeah.
I have been on dates with guys that have this like deep like feeling of resentment.
Yeah.
They're like, but I guess you're not into guys like that. Or whatever. And you're like, what? You're already like blaming me for something I haven't done yet. And also like, I don't actually want to have a second date with somebody who's like just dripping with contempt in this way.
Yeah. That's the thing, is it's self-fulfilling prophecy when people are so miserable. Yeah.
And like, I get why they're miserable and I get how it can be unbelievably frustrating, but it's like the only actual choice that you have is like how to respond to it. Mm-hmm. Is it going to make me toxic or is it not going to make me toxic? And like, that fucking sucks.
Right.
Like, it sucks. You just have to fucking put your head down and just go through 80 like bad dates or humiliating experiences or being like, that was really fun. I'd love to do it again sometime. And then the guy just fucking disappears on you.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my God. You know, okay, this is probably not for the show, but you know, I had one, there's this guy that I've been like chatting to online for a while. And like, we've been trying to meet up, but like, we can't make it work because he's busy at work, whatever. Like, it just kind of hasn't worked out. And then I went to the grocery store the other day. I came back home. And then like an hour later, he texted me and he's like, hey, did I see you at Whole Foods today? And I was like, oh, yeah, I was probably out of my own world because I was like listening to a rough cut of our podcast. And I was like, yeah, I probably seemed like a little bit kind of out of it. And then the next day I was like, do you still want to meet up? And then he just like never texted me back.
Bizarre.
And I was like, why did you text me to say you saw me at Whole Foods if clearly it's like you've now seen me? I'm not as attractive in real life as you thought I was from my pictures. But why tell me that you saw me at Whole Foods then?
Hey, you look like shit at Whole Foods. I'm going to be moving on.
I did look like shit at Whole Foods. It's fine.
I remember going on one date with a girl that I like really liked, hit it off with. And then I got
like a full torso rash that lasted like, it's not real. It wasn't actually a rash. It's like an immuno response, but it resulted in these like little red marks all over my body. Mm-hmm. Fall out of touch with everyone I'm dating. Match with her on another app like 6 months later. And she's like, hi, how are you? And I was like, hey, like, good to talk to you again. And she's like, what? And she had, even when I like brought it back up, had no recollection of our date.
Brutal.
I was like, oh, I thought it went well. Ha ha. You know, I wasn't like, oh, I really liked you.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, yeah. And she's like, so then why didn't you follow up? And I could not think of a good lie because the actual reason was like, oh, I broke out into like full body hives for a month.
Wait, you didn't tell her that?
No. I thought a lie about having to leave the city for family reasons was better. I think in retrospect, I would have gone full body rash because it did not work. She was okay. She immediately seemed to suss out that there was something off with my response.
Okay,
but I will tell you, I had a huge wrench thrown in my August 2015 by my full torso rash.
That's the opening anecdote of your self-help book. This is the hardest thing that's ever happened to me.
It starts with a wandering anecdote about how once I got cock-blocked by my own skin's immune response.
Did I tell you about the guy? I went on one date with this guy, and then we had a second date scheduled, and he's like, oh, I can't make it. I've got a cold. And I was like, whatever. And then we rescheduled, and then he's like, I know we already rescheduled, but I have to reschedule again because it turns out that what I thought was a cold is actually syphilis. Mm-hmm. And like, it's going to be a while until I'm like fit to meet up with anybody else. I had to like remind myself, I'm cool with this. I'm a enlightened, like 2023 man.
It's cool with me that you have the disease that killed Al Capone. I'll hit you back in 2 months.
But then we've actually ended up becoming quite good friends. And he's still in my phone as Jake Syphilis. He's never living that down.
Michael.
you're Jake Syphilis to me forever. Like, that's on you, man. That's on you.
Oh my God.
I mean, it is on him.
Yeah.
But that's also how, like, if I had proceeded with that girl and just told her the truth about the rash and then we hit it off and then we got married, the fucking rash story would haunt me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's true. That would be at every toast at your wedding.
Every toast.
What did you think reading all this stuff, Peter? Like, based on your own brief Bumble experience?
I didn't have I really enjoyed online dating, and I think I like did it at the perfect time and the perfect, like I was dating in like my late 20s, early 30s in New York City.
This is like you talking about being popular in high school. I'm fuming.
I had plenty of times in my life where I wasn't particularly good at dating and wasn't dating much at all. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I see both sides of this, you know. My experience with online dating was, you know, relatively positive, but I feel like I empathize with the guy who's just swinging and missing all fucking day.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've had those moments in my life where mm-hmm. I just was not doing well. And there's a real loneliness to it. And I'm very glad that online dating wasn't a thing at the time, because I'm pretty sure it would have been a real drag on my mental health. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
Even when I was like, you know, having a bad streak on the apps. You know, I was like probably 31, 32, and it's sort of like you're old enough that you can put this shit in perspective and not
right.
feel like you're a piece of shit because
right.
you're doing poorly on the apps.
And also be polite about it. I feel like one of the things that's so toxic about the incels and the female dating strategies is this idea that there's like high value people versus low value people, as opposed to like, this person is not my type. Mm-hmm. The overwhelming experience of online dating seems to be just like going out on like a coffee thing with a person who like you don't really click with.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that they're a bad person or you're a right. bad person. It's just like, we're not a match. Have a great day.
The high value, low value thing is like a way of taking personal offense to right. shit that you shouldn't be taking personal offense yeah. to, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a guy who's not as successful is trying to date you. You can be like, no, I'd rather not. I need some financial stability in my life. Or you can be like, how dare this fucking loser
try
to date me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's like this cumulative misery in all of this that I think is piling up on the younger generations, especially.
Yeah.
And these are the outputs.
I read an entire book about this called The Mating Game, How Gender Still Shapes How We Date by Ellen Lamont, which was basically a series of qualitative interviews with 105 people in the Bay Area about just like their dating. Like, what is your dating life like? This is done relatively recently, so it's mostly online dating. And there's still this very strong residue of like the dinner and a movie model.
Right.
The man has to pay and like the man has to be the one to sort of say like, oh, we're a couple now or whatever.
Yeah.
People still date with a lot more gendered norms than they conduct themselves in other areas of their life, right, like work.
I would always pay on first dates, especially. And it's just you end up falling into these gendered dynamics very readily because trying to reject them feels like rocking the boat in a sometimes obnoxious or weird or uncomfortable way.
This is what I think is the core challenge of this, because the signal has become very noisy, right? So if the man pays on the first date, it could be that he's doing that because he realizes that women have to deal with a lot of bullshit when they're online dating. And almost like as a form of compensation, he's like, look, I know you got a bunch of dick pics. Least I can do is like pay and like get rid of this.
Right.
But then it can also be a sign that like he adheres to fucking traditional gender norms. Right. It's like the man pays. I'm the man. I pay. You stay home. I bring home the bacon. But it's like the same signal. Right. The man pays can be either he's very progressive on gender or he's very traditional on gender.
I want to put this out there. Like when I was doing like a lot of dating, I had like a good corporate job. And so like the financial part of it is not really a concern. And like, right, I don't want to speak for people who have that financial concern. But I do think that if the actual money is not the concern, then it feels like putting your foot down signals some bitterness about imbalances in the dating dynamics generally. And that is probably, you know, a light red flag.
The chances of him being a libertarian go like up by 15%.
I will always pay, but the rule is I would also give her bad stock advice so that she loses the equivalent amount of money in the markets.
Did you meet for dinner, though? I think it's so fucking weird to meet for dinner the first time you hang out.
No, I always drinks. Always drinks.
Okay. Because then you can like exit easily.
I'm not a, oh, let's chat for 10 minutes and then go meet up. I hated that shit. If someone was ever like early in the Tinder Bumble chat, like, let's meet up for drinks right now, I'd be like, no.
Wait, really? You wanted to actually like send text messages back and forth like an animal?
We would text for a couple of days. Maybe this is why I enjoyed dating, because when I actually went on a date, I was like relatively confident that we got along to some degree, and it tended to be a surprise if we didn't.
Wait, really? You think you can actually tell things about people from what they're like online to like text with?
I think it translated relatively well. Because I'm like sarcastic and over text, and I don't know. Just there were like small little things that would help me filter people out, and I think I went on a higher percentage of good dates because I would spend some time in the texting realm first.
But that's so funny though, because in my experience, what someone is like to text with and what they are like to talk to have like some correlation with each other, but fairly loose correlations. Like I've had terrible text conversations with people who are great in person and vice versa. And so I'm just like, if we text like twice,
yeah,
you're attracted to me, I'm attracted to you, you seem vaguely normal sauce, like let's get a coffee. I don't want to do this like how was your day thing for like six fucking days in advance, and it just ends up being wasted time because the modal coffee date is like you never see each other again.
See, this is the difference between you, an ancient 41-year-old, and me, a spry young 37-year-old.
You have the energy for the like little small talk conversation constantly.
I definitely think that I probably missed out on some nice people who were not great texters, but I think that I was good at sussing out who was weird and who wasn't. And sometimes I would get the ick, like someone would send me a voice memo on Bumble and I was like, ooh, this is weird.
That's like the third time you mentioned that. This is like the great trauma of your online dating experience.
It's a great example of someone who gave me a massive, obvious red flag ignored it because I thought she was cute. And then I met up with her and was like, ooh, she sucks.
Yeah.
I should have learned from the voice memo.
I did text you about this. I literally have only met up with one dude from Bumble. Mm-hmm. He seemed fine on text. And then we met up and he's a university professor. And I was like, oh, what's it like, you know, teaching undergrads? And he was like, it all comes back to this book by Jonathan Haidt and Greg Lukianoff. It's called The Coddling of the American Mind. Have you heard of it?
Check, please.
And like my soul fucking left my body. I was like, this cannot be happening. And then I tried to be nice about it, and then we ended up fighting about homelessness in Seattle. Just like a fucking parade of red flags.
Never, when someone brings up the coddling of the American mind, you're never more than 10 minutes from a fight about homelessness in Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. And then he mentioned, I was like, oh, I live near this grocery store. And he's like, that place is like a sanatorium. Oh. I'm like, okay, bye.
That's about how you ignored the obvious red flag of a university professor.
I Michael. Know, exactly. You this can't. Is ultimately, it's all my fault.
Sir, you don't even have a real job, okay?
Did you mention the fact that you were a corporate lawyer on your profile?
I think I just said lawyer, 6 foot, and then a joke, because the percentage of people when I didn't have my height in the profile who would immediately ask was like wild.
They would ask?
Yes, right away.
They can't tell from your head proportions? That's how people clock me.
No, I also had one picture with one of my most gigantic acquaintances.
It was my dinner with Andre the Giant. This imp of a man.
I wanted to like put like MS Paint scales in the in the back of the picture, so like showing that he is 6'8" and that I am a normal guy.
There is in this book, it's very funny. She interviews all these dudes and they're all like, I'm progressive, like I want an equal relationship. And then the minute she drills down, the dudes are like, oh, she has to be shorter than me and she can't make more money than me. And her body count has to be lower than mine.
Yeah, good lord.
Okay. It's sort of, it's the same thing as the rules where it's like, all that stuff is great, but like, it just doesn't apply to my relationships.
The income thing is another, like maybe even bigger gender dynamic that I think is just very common both on both sides. Guys yeah. find it emasculating when a woman makes more than them in their relationship, and women don't like it that much either.
This is so weird to me. Why wouldn't you want a rich partner who can like buy you shit?
Because your entire life you get told that like the measure of a man is his job and career and like what he can provide. And then all of a sudden you're partnered up with someone who doesn't really need you in the way that you thought that you were making yourself needed. And that makes men feel insecure, you know?
My like most problematic opinion is that like we need way more like left-wing dating advice.
Yeah.
I watched a video essay ages ago from this guy who like used to be an incel, and he said that the way he got sucked into that world was like he wanted dating tips, and like literally the only people giving them were these men's rights assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
And like any individual advice that you give as like a left-wing person is gonna attract the criticism of like, you're not addressing the structural factors, which is totally true, but also like within the world we live in, people still want advice.
I do feel like it's not so much that they're isn't advice as much as the advice does not feel as satisfying, because it's like, yeah, a lot of women like to feel like a normal human being who you respect and treat with dignity. And like, you can do that and they will be attracted to you because of it.
Right.
I feel like a lot of guys are probably like, that doesn't sound quite as punchy be mean to them and they will like you or whatever.
Right. Or also like you might just have to be comfortable with your girlfriend making more money than you.
Right.
Like, yeah, if a woman isn't giving you signals, like you're just not going to get laid on the date.
Right.
And like, yeah, I can see how that's not very appealing. It's like, oh, so I'm just going to like get laid less than I would by like tricking women into it.
I think that a lot of that sort of reactionary advice culture is just as much about providing community for these guys amongst the guys, right?
Yeah.
Which is why it gets so weirdly adversarial toward women, so kind of filled with bitterness and acrimony, because it's not in practice about getting these guys out there dating. It's about this sort of like community of guys who are commiserating.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, it's these guys are getting pulled into right-wing subcultures, not just because there's no left-wing dating advice, but because the right-wing dating advice isn't actually dating advice.
Right.
It's just an entryway into these communities. And the end goal for the people running those communities is to have more members in those communities, not for those members to be functioning members of society who go on to have healthy dating lives.
Right, which of course is going to end up radicalizing you over time.
Right. It's sort of within the it's in the nature of these communities that they end up creating an adversarial sort of position towards the opposite gender.
This is why it's important to spend 3 to 7 months texting with somebody before you meet up with them. Wow, two siblings. Oh, Long Island City? Wow. Fascinating stuff. You really cracked the code.